Well, we are in our second week in our series on Love Your Neighbor. Jesus said that the two greatest commandments, the two that summarize the entire scripture, are love God and love your neighbor. But what happens if your neighbors are homicidal ghosts? Well, that's the premise of the movie The Grudge. It started off in Japan with the movie Ju-on, and then it's, I think, maybe three or four movies into the series here in the U.S. One came out just earlier in the year. And in the film, when somebody has been killed in a violent rage, or they have something terrible that happened this way with anger and such, it creates the grudge, which is kind of a curse. And it hangs with the place. And so if somebody has been killed in a house in that way, then whoever would go into the house would then be impacted by the grudge, by this curse. And in this particular film, the one that started it all, a guy had gotten jealous of his wife because his wife was in love with another man, so he killed his wife, his child, and the cat. And I don't know why he killed the cat, but that's what he did. And it created the grudge. And now whoever enters that home is impacted by the grudge, and they become murderers themselves, or they commit suicide, and those who have been murdered become these homicidal ghosts. And this grudge that's created can never be stopped. It keeps going on and on, which is great if you're a horror film franchise, because you can make movies till kingdom come and the grudge is still there. But it's not so great if you have an ever-ending grudge in your life as a Christian. Not if you want to follow Jesus. Jesus wants us to have never-ending love and mercy and forgiveness. He wants us to have the life that comes through following him, not a life that is destroyed by the grudge. He doesn't want us to have a dead-end life. He wants us to have a life that's full, and that means forgiveness is so crucial. It's so crucial to our well-being that we find in the Bible what I call the great as circle, A-S, the great as circle. We see it beginning in Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace. And be thankful. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's the start of the circle. So how does the Lord forgive? I mean, if we're supposed to forgive as the Lord forgives us, well, what does that look like? How does the Lord forgive? Well, the Lord forgives completely and totally. In 1 John, we are told, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And in Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And how far is that? East from west, it's infinite. God's mercy and forgiveness is infinite. In Christ, there's complete and total forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, he tells the parable of the unforgiving servant to illustrate how ridiculously huge is God's forgiveness. In the story, there is a person who owes the king 10,000 talents of money. Now, if you remember from a couple weeks ago, we talked about the talent. The talent was the largest unit of money in Jesus' time. It was equal to 15 years' wages. And this person owes 10,000 talents, something that he couldn't repay in 150,000 years of work. In fact, 10,000 talents is more money than existed at the time Jesus tells this story. If you had it translated into to modern numbers, roughly $4.5 trillion. Now, this is the debt that he owes. And obviously, Jesus is telling this to make a point. And the point is that all the money in the world can't repay the debt that this man owes to the king. Just as all the money in the world can't repay the debt that we owe to God. But there is something expected. Because when the king forgives this man this enormous debt, he expects that person to then be forgiving towards others. See, there's a person that owes him $15,000, which is not pocket change, but it's nothing compared to the debt that he'd been forgiven. God expects the man to forgive his neighbor that amount, just as he had been forgiven. And that's how you start going around this great as circle. As Jesus forgives you, you forgive others. As Jesus forgives us, we forgive others, and you start going around the circle. And then you complete the circle with the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read a portion of it as Matthew tells it, but I'm not going to read it in the King James Version that we normally say because we're so used to it that sometimes we don't even realize what we're saying. So I'm going to read the Common English Bible Version. And you get down where we normally say, "Forgive us our trespasses," and here's how it translates it. "Forgive us the ways we've wronged you, just as we also forgive those who have wronged us. And don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." And then Jesus adds this commentary. "If you forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you." Wow, that sounds pretty heavy. Kind of harsh. Not the prayer itself, but Jesus' commentary. That if we forgive others, God will forgive us, and if we don't, then God won't forgive us. But remember what we prayed. See, this isn't about God punishing us. God simply answers our prayer. Because in the Lord's Prayer, we don't pray, "God, forgive us our massive debt." We don't say, "God, forgive us all of our trespasses." We don't say, "God, forgive us, period." We say, "Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us." And when we do, when we forgive fully and completely, it completes that circle. The Lord forgives us, so we forgive others, and as we forgive others, so we ask the Lord to forgive us. And it goes round and round. And we draw closer and closer to Christ. We're more shaped into his image. Jesus forgives, we forgive, we forgive, we ask Jesus to forgive, and around we go. But if we don't forgive, God answers that prayer too. And we have prayed, "Forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us." And God will answer that prayer too. And when God answers that prayer, it derails the forgiveness. Instead of going around on that circle of greater and greater forgiveness and mercy, we derail it by our own action. When I was a kid, one of the favorite toys that I had were Hot Wheels cars. Anybody have Hot Wheels cars in their homes at one point? You probably remember it because you stepped on one and you never forgot it. The Hot Wheels cars were these little metal cars, and you can push them around, but they also had plastic tracks that you connected together, and you could send them round and round. And if you were really lucky, somebody had given you the booster pack. You see, these weren't electric cars, but the little booster pack had two wheels inside. And when you sent the car through, those wheels shot the car out, and it would go around the circle and come back around to the booster pack, and then it would go again. And it would just keep going like that. And it was an amazing thing. At least it was back when I was a kid. I just looked it up on Amazon. It is now the 25,770th most popular toy in their toy category. So things have changed a little bit. But even then, we didn't use it as it was intended. You know, at first we would set it up and it was so cool because it was going round and round. But then we thought, well, what would happen if we disconnected the track? And instead of sending it round and round, we sent it shooting off into something, into the wall, into cans, into another car, into our brother or our friend. And when you did that, the car never came back around. It just crashed into the wall, sometimes broke. And you know, that may be fun when it's a toy, but it's not fun when it's your life. It's not fun to go careening off and crashing into the wall, but that's what happens when we don't forgive. We disconnect that circle that God intends us of Jesus forgives us, we forgive others, as we forgive others, God forgives us, and round and round again. Remember what we heard in Colossians, bear with one another and forgive one another, and if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Now forgiveness doesn't mean that whatever happened wasn't important. And forgiveness doesn't mean that the other person was right in what they did to you, or that there'll be no consequences for them. Forgiveness means instead that the Spirit of Christ controls our thoughts and actions, not the spirit of anger and revenge, not a grudge that destroys our lives, but instead forgiveness means choosing not to be destroyed by the grudge and choosing instead to love our neighbor. Even when they've done us wrong, even when they are wrong, we choose to forgive. We choose to love our neighbor. You know, they say that that good fences make good neighbors, and that may be the case, but when my kids were growing up, there weren't many fences. All the backyards on the block kind of ran together, and the kids ran together as kind of a pack, and the whole block was sort of a mini park. And they would play games, they would play tag, and they would play wiffle ball, and they'd play other games with tennis balls, and everybody just loved it. It was a great neighborhood. Except there was one neighbor who was very particular about his lawn, and he didn't want any child setting foot on his grass. In fact, he was so particular that he put up a barbed wire fence to keep the kids out. But even then, occasionally a ball would roll into his yard. And when it did, he would pick it up and he would keep it. And he wouldn't give it back to the kids. Which, of course, made the kids angry. They thought, how can this big bully steal our ball? And they would plot various ways of getting revenge. And of course, I was upset too. Because, you know, it's hard to, when somebody messes with your kids or someone you love. And I was kind of as worked up as they were, but another dad set a better example. He told the kids in the neighborhood, try to keep your ball off his lawn. But if a ball rolls onto his lawn, just leave it. Because I've bought a huge box of balls. They're in my garage. And if one rolls onto his lawn, you just come get a new ball. And in doing that, he stopped all the complaining, all the grudges that the kids had, and they continued to play in the neighborhood. And it stopped the grudge. And I've always been impressed by that father's example. How he set an example of forgiving the neighbor, how he ended the grudge, and he set an example for the neighborhood kids too. But that's hard to do, isn't it? It's hard to forgive when somebody does something to people that you love. I mean, we can forgive ourselves, right? We forgive a lot of people for things they've done to us, but it's so hard to forgive when somebody's done something to someone we love. Why is that? Why do we feel like we have to hold the grudge for someone else? Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians. The Corinthians are upset with a person, one of their neighbors, because they feel he's done something to Paul. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it was about, the controversy. But they feel that they have offended Paul, or they've hurt Paul by this neighbor's actions or words. And they're holding a grudge for Paul. But Paul says, hey, don't do that. Come on, let it go. Love your neighbor. Love him. Don't hold a grudge on my account. Instead, forgive him and love your neighbor. Here's what he says. If anyone has caused grief, he's not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put this too severely. He's talking about how they're the ones that have really gotten upset, not so much him. But the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. I urge you, therefore, to reaffirm your love for him. Another reason I wrote you was to see if you would stand the test and be obedient in everything. Anyone you forgive, I also forgive. And what I have forgiven, if there was anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake. See, he started another one of those as circles. You know, I forgive as you forgive, and I forgive for your sake. And then he finishes it this way in verse 11. In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Why all this forgiveness circle? In order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. As you forgive, I forgive, he says. And why doesn't Paul want them holding a grudge for him? Why doesn't he want them to keep holding that against this neighbor? It's because that's just the scheme of Satan, he says. Another way to destroy us. Holding that grudge, refusing to forgive this neighbor is just another scheme of Satan. Paul says, no, forgive. And love him again. Because that's what Jesus did. And Paul models his life after Jesus. And we should too. As the Lord forgives us, we forgive others. As we forgive others, we ask the Lord to forgive us. more we do that, the more we go round and round that circle, the more we're shaped into the image of Christ, who said, even as they crucified him, Father, forgive them. May we love our neighbor and do the same. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's hard when a wrong has been committed against us, and it's even harder when a wrong has been committed against someone that we love. And yet, Lord, you ask us to forgive, and we ask you to forgive us as we forgive others. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that so you can continue to bless us as you answer our prayers. Enable us to forgive. Enable us to love. For that binds us all together. God, hear these prayers of our hearts right now. Lord, if there is something that we're holding against someone, one of our neighbors that we're estranged from, that we're thinking about right now, Lord, we put that situation in your hand. And Lord, we pray not for revenge, but we pray that you would give us a heart to forgive as you forgive us, so that we might know your joy and your peace. In your name we pray. Amen.